You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. Download our free mobile app. There's a digital Bible on there. There's all of our teachings. There's an online community that you can be a part of and pray with and chat with. It's a good resource in your pocket. If you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications, share it with somebody, leave a 5-star review. I know I say this all the time, but it's so, so helpful. And it's been very helpful. Those of you that have been engaging with the podcast and even engaging here with the live stream, it allows for us to get in front of more people. If you know anything about kind of the online world, the more people interact with content, the more they, the more the content gets pushed forward. That just makes sense. And I say this because obviously we want more people to study the Bible. And I believe that what we've been able to put together here we've been able to offer Scripture in a way that is digestible, that is applicable. And we try to take just a little bit of time each and every day to go ahead and study, right? We get together for 1% and then we get out for the remaining 99 and do something good for Christ's sake, okay? So we are closing Matthew chapter 27. Robust chapter, goes through not only the arrest, well, I would say it begins with the lamenting of Judas, goes through the illegal trial of Jesus, and ultimately the crucifixion, which we've studied at length. And now we come to a close. Jesus has died on the cross. Two men of great stature step up, right? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, actually Joseph of Arimathea, who both were members of the Sanhedrin, but offers his own tomb for Jesus to be placed in. And that was a fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus was prophesied not only that he would be numbered with the transgressors, but that he would be buried among the wicked, right? He would experience death just like you and I, and that he would be in the tomb of a rich man. This was a prophecy fulfilled that was hundreds of years old. You would think that the religious leaders and the scribes, those who knew the scriptures better than anybody, would go ahead and recognize what was going on. But it's proof positive, right, that just because you know the truth doesn't mean that you would want to accept the truth. We are beings that are created in the image of God, which means that we have the ability to make choices. We have the ability to create. We have the ability to destroy. And as we have studied at great length over the course of this journey through the Gospel of Matthew, that the religious leaders at the time of Jesus wanted to hold tightly to the old way. And this also lends to the truth that if you want God to do a new thing in your life, you can't hold on to the old things. You got to let some things go. And God, through Jesus, is ushering in a new covenant. He's ushering in a kingdom that can be established here on earth, that is through the followers of those that are faithful to him. And in the modern day, this is me and you. Remember, we're reading this and we're seeing these men and these women step up, but we are the modern day saints. Take that in for a second. You and I are the modern day saints that are called to make a change in this generation. What are you and what am I doing with the time that we have? Well, we know what we're doing with our time here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 27, okay? And we are going to be going through verses 62 verses through 66, okay? Let's go ahead and start reading. The next day, The one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" Hold up. Hold the phone here for a second. Do you remember that they claimed when Jesus said, "Tear down this temple and I will raise it in 3 days"? Do you remember that they charged Jesus with claiming that he was going to tear down the temple? I do. I do. Isn't it convenient that now that Jesus has passed, that the deed is done, they had him crucified, and he is now buried inside the tomb, that they now realize that Jesus was saying, I'm gonna resurrect in 3 days. Seems quite convenient, doesn't it? And this is, again, we touched on this just a second ago. When somebody wants their own truth, they're really, and they're committed to that, it's whatever it takes. That's why it's so important, truthfully, for you and I, as followers of God, to not give those against us any ground to charge us with things. Now, I'm not saying shut up. I'm not saying don't be vocal. No, be very, very vocal. What I'm saying is be faithful and obedient to the ways of God to the best of your ability. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. But don't give the rest of the world any ground to charge us and discredit us, ultimately trying to discredit God. And I say that because the nature of those who are against God will look for things. Who knows if the whole time they knew what Jesus was saying? Chances are that's the case. Remember, they charged him with blasphemy, even though the things that he did had nothing to do with what their modern charge of blasphemy was. Remember, the way that they had trial, they had it at night, they had it over Passover, they issued a sentence of death without, you know, proper witnesses. They sought out witnesses that would give false testimony. They did whatever it took. And that's what evil will do. Evil will do whatever it takes to suppress truth. But here's the fact of the matter. You cannot suppress truth for too long. You cannot stop the will of God. And that's what they're trying to do here. So they go to Pilate and they say, "Sir, remember what he said?" And of course, they misrepresent what Jesus said. Actually, now they're properly representing it to a sense that he said he will rise again. So verse 64, they ask him, "So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." Okay, so they're laying the groundwork here because part of me, and this is just me here, believes, okay, think about what happened. Let's back up for a second. Jesus is on the cross, and we have, well, seems to be supernatural appearances, according to the Bible. We have earthquakes, but if you go back a couple episodes, we have the tearing of the veil in the temple. I don't know. I have to imagine that they are thinking something's here, right? What is going on? What did we do? But like evil will do in many, many cases, evil doubles down because it doesn't matter. It didn't matter from the beginning what the truth was. It was all about their own self-preservation. So they go to Pilate and they say, "Hey, we need your help, okay? He said he was going to do this. Guard the tomb." And Pilate obliges, okay? Says, verse 65. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So Pilate issues the Roman guard. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So they actually take and put a Roman seal now over the tomb. Now, the punishment for removing a seal of any kind, anywhere, was death. And as we see tomorrow, and I'm sure some of you know, if not, I'm sorry to be a spoiler. Actually, I'm not sorry because it's the whole purpose. You can have eternal life in the first place. Jesus rises the next day, okay? Jesus does exactly what he says, okay? And these Roman guards, if you do a study, we've got a great article written by Johnny on the Sound of Heaven website about the Roman guard. I may get into it a little bit, but the guards are issued. And we know very well that the guards ultimately don't do their job as if they had a choice, right? Because you can't stop what God's going to do. But the punishment, even for them to fail to properly guard something, God forbid, fall asleep, was death. And all of this is very much a proof point for the resurrection. The fact that guards were present, and there's no way that the Roman guards are moving out of the way for them to move a body, for them to allow this. It was their death to do so. And again, Rome was not, they were not very loyal at all to the Jewish people and the Jewish population. They're not going to allow this to happen. But I want to give you a really interesting proof point that I find extremely compelling. I want to show you something here. See this on my screen? Well, if you're listening, you can't see it on the screen. I'm showing a tablet here. It's an ancient Roman document. Check this out, okay? It's an ancient Roman document. Did you know that shortly after the Bible records Jesus' resurrection, Rome issues a striking edict, okay? This decree is known as the Nazarene inscription, and it forbade anyone from violating a tomb's seal or moving a body. And here's what the edict of Caesar declared. Let me read this to you. It is my decision concerning graves and tombs, whoever has made them for religious observances of parents, children, or household members, that these remain undisturbed forever. But if anyone legally charges that another person has destroyed or extracted or moved with wicked intent those who have been buried or displaced the sealing stones, against such a person, I order a judicial tribunal be created. This is to be taken as seriously as human religious observances concerning the gods, even more so. It's obligatory to treat and honor those entombed. You are absolutely not to allow anyone to move them. Violators should suffer capital punishment under the title of tomb breaker. Could this be a potential proof of the resurrection? Is it possible that the resurrection of Jesus caused such a disruption that the greatest empire in all of history had to change its laws about breaking into a tomb and moving a body? I think it's very possible. What do you think? Let me know. I would love your perspective on this. To me, this is extremely, extremely compelling. But how I want to end this today, so I want you to chew on that a little bit, reflect on this. that we have, once again, historical record of a major law change right around the time that Jesus was placed in the tomb. We know that he rose, and we know that it caused quite a stir. So much so, we will study this all through the book of Acts. The whole world gets turned upside down. This was ultimately the demise of not only the Jewish temple system, right, the old covenant system, I'll put it that way, but this was the demise, ultimately, it took a little while, of the Roman Empire. It was. But let's go back to just this moment as we close to really Jesus in the tomb and those who wished to suppress the truth. Again, those who are against you can prepare all they want, but they cannot thwart God's will and intervention at the right timing in your life. My prayer for you is that you take that with you. Because so many of us get discouraged because those around us don't support us, or we have people that try to shoot us down, people that try to cast doubt on our lives. Hopefully, as we get through these studies, we're beginning to describe what we believe a little more, because honestly, a faith that can't be challenged is a faith that can't be trusted. So my prayer for you is that you would be able to understand more so why you believe what you believe and get rid of some of the statements of, well, it's in the Bible, so it's, yes, of course it's true if it's in the Bible, but proper context and understanding strengthens you to have conversations, to honestly defend your faith. That's what apologetics is. That's what I want you to leave with today, that those against you can prepare all they want, can get all the help they want from powerful people like the religious leaders did from Pontius Pilate, but they cannot thwart God's will in your life. There's nobody that they can get to come against you that's bigger than the God that has your back, the one that says that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. And if God is for you, who can be successful against you? I position to you humbly, my brothers and sisters, no one can be effective against you because you have God on your side. Just don't give up the faith. Nothing will befall you because God's got your back. That doesn't mean you won't take steps back. Don't mean that it does, may not look for a season like you're losing. Right? That's the whole concept of the 3 days. Jesus dies on the cross. He gets put in the tomb. And then for 3 days, I'm sure the disciples are sitting around like, what happened? Did we lose? The whole world was watching. And it looked like Jesus lost. It looked like everything he did was for naught. But what? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. The resurrection day is coming. And that's what we're going to be studying over the next few days, is the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm glad you're along with me for the journey as we start Matthew chapter 28 tomorrow. Let's pray. Father God, we take a moment this morning to thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that you're with us every moment. And though it may seem like we have a lot against us, nothing is bigger than you in our life. So we take comfort, we take peace, we have confidence in that. That because you are in our corner, nothing can befall us. Nothing can stop your plan for our life. In Jesus' mighty name. I hope that encourages you today. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out at soh.church. It's the 1% Christian, right? 100 starts with one. Now go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. I love you guys. Have a great day.